Easy Natural English with Liam, an English listening podcast. Hello and welcome back. Thank you for joining me for another episode. Today we are going to be taking a look at the history of something, and that is Netflix. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about this today is because if you have been a listener of the podcast for a while, then you will know that I'm a big fan of Netflix, especially for language learning, and it's a platform or a website or a streaming service that I've talked about many times before, so I thought it might be interesting to talk about the history of it. And the reason I think Netflix is particularly good for language learning is because compared to some of the other streaming services like Amazon Prime or Hulu or any of the other ones out there like HBO or Disney, it tends to have the best options for subtitles and for dubbed versions of things as well. So a dubbed version means the original language has been changed. So, of course, when learning languages, it's always best to watch something that is originally in that language, because usually when things are dubbed, it tends to be a little bit unnatural and the actors talk a bit more like cartoon characters, or they don't speak like usual actors, especially when it comes to the Japanese ones. But one reason why this is quite useful is because it means you can just continue immersing yourself in the language that you're learning. You can get lots of input in the language that you're learning. So for example, for me, who has been studying Japanese for a long time, sometimes I just want to watch an American TV show because it looks good. So instead of sort of wasting my time watching something in English and not learning anything, I just switch the language to Japanese. I watch the Japanese dubbed version. So I then watch these American TV shows with actors speaking Japanese, so I can enjoy the TV show and keep studying Japanese at the same time. But anyway, that's not the main reason I think Netflix is good. I think the main reason is because the subtitle options are very good, and everything has the subtitles of the original language. So if you watch a British, American, Australian, etc., if you watch an English language TV show, there will be subtitles in English. So when you can't quite hear something that the actors are saying, you can check what they're saying and you can look it up in the dictionary, and that's very useful for language learning. So I'm a big fan of Netflix for that reason, and just in general, watching things using these streaming services is a very good way to study, and much more fun and much more realistic than just studying with a textbook or with some kind of boring English learning materials. Which is why I make this podcast, because I try to give you something in between those two, because it can be hard and it can be challenging to watch TV shows. So it is good to, use something a bit like this podcast that hopefully isn't too boring, but also isn't too difficult. Personally, that's what I do myself. I can watch series in Japanese and in French. I can watch them and I can understand them. Of course, there is still some element that is challenging. So as well as watching TV shows in Japanese and French, I also listen to podcasts similar to this one, which are a bit easier too. I think it's good to do both, because when you do those slightly easier things, you pick up on some other things that you might not do with the more challenging materials. But anyway, today we're not talking about podcasts, we're talking about Netflix. So let's get into it. So these days, Netflix is known by pretty much anyone that uses the internet and it actually accounts for 15% of the total downstream volume of internet traffic around the world. So it's taking up a large amount of the bandwidth of the internet around the world. It's a very popular service that many, many people are using, but of course it didn't start that way. So Netflix actually started in 1997, and it was started by two guys called Reed Hastings and Mark Randolph, and the idea came from Reed Hastings. And Hastings got this idea when he was charged $40 for a late DVD at Blockbuster. So if you don't know what Blockbuster is, it was, I think there might be a few stores left, but it was a rental video and DVD store or shop. Actually, when I was younger, I remember going to Blockbuster and renting videos and DVDs. But these days, because of the internet and because of these streaming services, you won't find many of them. I think there might be one or perhaps two. Just for like memory's sake, I think there's like the original one still exists, but basically they don't exist anymore. But anyway, at that time in 1997, Blockbuster was already dying. People weren't using it that much. And this guy Hastings, he got this $40 fine for a late DVD, and he was thinking to himself, this Blockbuster, it's dead, no one uses it anymore, why am I paying for this? And he thought, there must be something better we can do these days, now we have the internet. And at that time, the internet wasn't quite what it is today, it wasn't quite as fast as it is today, so actually the idea he had at the time was still renting the actual DVDs, the physical copy, but he thought instead of going to the store, we can do this online. So he created an online rental DVD store, and that's what Netflix was to begin with. Or at least that is the story that they tell. Apparently, according to the other guy, Randolph, that story is not true, but it's kind of a marketing gag or marketing thing that they came up with because it sounded good and it got people's attention. I've heard a lot of people sharing that story, and it's a kind of funny story, but according to the other guy, it's not actually true. He said that in fact they were both working in Silicon Valley, like a lot of people who start these companies, you know, Amazon, Google, all these other websites get started in Silicon Valley. They were working there and they just came up with the idea and said, let's do it. So they started this online rental store where they would send DVDs to people's houses. And this idea was kind of spurred on or encouraged by the introduction of DVDs, because before that, if you're old enough to remember, we had VHS, we had video cassettes, and they were pretty big and bulky. If you're one of the younger listeners and you somehow have never seen a VHS, I imagine most of you have seen a VHS. If you haven't, it was about the size of an ordinary sized book. So it was a little bit difficult to send in the mail. But with the introduction of DVDs, which were very small, these guys thought, hey, we could put these in envelopes very easy and send them to people. And that's how Netflix got started. And what made them different from Blockbuster or from the other rental stores at the time is they said that there would be no late fees, no due dates, so you didn't have to worry about sending the DVDs back. You just sent them whenever you were ready. I think they might have had some kind of limit, but they also had a monthly subscription. So in the other stores, you had to pay for every DVD or every VHS that you wanted to watch. But on Netflix, they had a system where you could just pay for a monthly fee, and then you could borrow as many movies as you liked, I think. With perhaps there must have been some limit, but at least that's what I read on the internet. And the idea took off relatively quickly. So in their second year, which was in 1998, within 15 minutes of setting up the real version of the website. Before that, they tried the beta version, the test version. When they set up the real website, it crashed within 15 minutes because they had too many orders coming in, and apparently they had to run to the store to buy more servers because their system was just overloaded. And then in 1999, the following year, they had over 239,000 subscribers, which from what I understand is pretty good for a website that just started, you know, the year before. So they were doing pretty well. And then they, at that time, they had over 3,100 movies you could borrow and watch. And something kind of interesting that happened in 2000 is Hastings, one of the guys that started Netflix, he went to the former Blockbuster CEO and asked him if he wanted to buy Netflix. And apparently the Blockbuster CEO laughed at him and his idea, which of course turned out to be kind of embarrassing, I guess, for that guy, because he laughed at the idea, and now Netflix is super, super popular. And then 2001, Netflix hit 1 million subscribers and just kept growing. And if we skip forward to 2006, then they had 6.3 million subscribers. And then finally in 2007, that is when the Netflix that we all know and love today started existing. So that is when they started actually streaming content. And back then in 2007, it was just a secondary part to the service. So they still had the rental service, that was still the main sort of thing, but they trialed this streaming service in Canada with in the beginning just 1,000 titles, and it turned out to be pretty popular. So in 2010, they made the switch and they became more of a streaming service with just some DVD by mail rental. And that is also the same year that poor Blockbuster registered for bankruptcy. And then it was in 2012, and this is probably when Netflix was really starting to make an impact on the world, and they were making enough money. So it was in 2012 that Netflix started making their own original shows. And the first show they made was Lilyhammer, which I've never seen. And it was followed by House of Cards. And House of Cards, I haven't seen it either. Actually, I think I tried to watch it a while ago, like a long time ago. And I think I might have found it a little bit boring. I think since then it has been taken off anyway, because one of the main actors was involved in a sex scandal. I think he was accused of sexual assault, if I remember. I've forgotten what his name is now. I think it's taken off there. But anyway, I think most of these shows now, if we go back and watch shows from early 2000, some of them might still be pretty good. But I think if we go back and watch things like Lost now, they're not so interesting, because a lot of shows since then have used the same format, and they're probably not really as interesting as they used to be anyway. But yeah, anyway, Netflix started making their own shows in 2012, and now they have something like 2,000 original titles. And this is actually a bit of a topic that I do have something negative to say about Netflix, because so far I've been saying lots of positive things. But something that annoys me about Netflix, particularly about their original shows, is they're very quick to cancel them. So there's been quite a few times where I started watching a Netflix show that I enjoyed, and they left the first season or perhaps the second season on a bit of a cliffhanger. And a cliffhanger is the end of an episode of something or a movie that makes you desperate to see the next part. So it's called a cliffhanger because in the old movies, it was quite common to have the hero of the story hanging on a cliff. You know, a cliff is a sharp rock face, a high place out in nature, And, you know, it's quite a cliche to have the hero hanging on the cliff and the episode would end like, what's going to happen to the hero? Find out next week. So we often call this kind of thing a cliffhanger. So when you watch a TV show and at the end of the episode, it's like, stop. And then you're thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen next? We often call that a cliffhanger. So Netflix in the past has sometimes had a series that ended on a big cliffhanger. And then, you know, I've jumped on the internet and had a look. When is the next season coming? Because I want to find out what happens next. And then I found out on the internet, oh, Netflix cancelled that show. So they do this because, like any business, they just want to make money. And if a series is just slightly less popular than they expect, they just cancel it. So there's been a few cases where the show has actually been pretty popular, but it wasn't as popular as something like Squid Game or Stranger Things. So that despite it being popular, they just decided to cancel it. And yeah, that's something that kind of annoys me because it's very unsatisfying when you're watching a show, it's got a very good story, you want to know what happens next, and then you just find out there is no what happens next. They've just stopped it sort of right in the middle of the story. Yeah, it's quite frustrating. So if we jump ahead a bit in the story, because I'd like to keep this episode within 20 minutes, in 2016 is when Netflix became available in 130 countries around the world, so it was becoming a real global company. And it, in 2017, it had 100 million subscribers worldwide. So I think it's around this time that like most people had heard of Netflix. However, as we've got into more recent years, not everything has been quite so good for Netflix. So in 2021 is when Netflix hit 209 million subscribers. They're now available in over 190 countries. Everything was going well. They were making lots of money. But then in 2022, in the following year, Netflix told the world that they had lost 200,000 subscribers in the first quarter of 2022. So that was the first time in over 10 years that they had hit a big loss like that. Every other year they had just been growing and growing and growing, and it seems like a big part of this loss was because a lot of other companies had seen how successful Netflix was and decided to start their own streaming service. So when Netflix was sort of growing and was getting very big, yeah, it was just Netflix, basically, was like the choice. And I don't remember what order the other ones came. I think it might have been Amazon Prime came next. And I mentioned earlier Hulu. Now you've got a lot of the TV channels have their own streaming service. So like HBO, I think Fox has one. Then you've got big companies like Disney making their own one. So there's all these streaming services now, so it's kind of hard for Netflix to compete. And that also makes it pretty hard for us as the viewers, because it means if you want to watch everything, now you need to have lots of different streaming services. So this is probably something that you've seen before, where you go to watch a show, whether it be on Netflix or whether it be on Amazon Prime, you go to watch a show and suddenly it's not there anymore. And this is all to do with sort of licensing and these battles that goes on between companies and media for who gets to play this and who gets to have the benefit of making money from this show or from this movie. So like an example of that is the Studio Ghibli movies, which are some Japanese anime movies that are very popular around the world. Often people say it's kind of the Japanese equivalent of Disney. So very, very popular. And I think now in pretty much every country you on Netflix, you can watch the Ghibli movies, but you can't watch them here in Japan where they come from because the license belongs to somebody else. I don't remember who, but the license belongs to somebody else. So here in the Japan, in the country where they come from, you can't watch them on Netflix. And that kind of thing is kind of annoying. And yeah, as more streaming services come out, it just kind of gets like you need then to subscribe to more to watch different things. So something I've done in the past, in general, I normally just stick to Netflix because, as I said, I find it's the best one for language learning. But sometimes I just, if I feel like there's not much left that I want to watch, then I just cancel Netflix and I join one of the other services, watch everything that I want to watch on there, and then wait for like new things to come out on Netflix and then subscribe again. So that's something I've done before. So anyway, we're just going to have to see what happens in the future now. I think there's a lot of people, like I was just explaining, a lot of people have this frustration that now there are so many streaming services and it's hard to be able to watch all the things that you want. So I sort of wonder what's going to happen there. You know, I wonder if this demand to have more things on one streaming service, will it lead to some kind of collaborations between streaming services? Will it lead to one of them just monopolizing everything? Who knows? I guess we'll have to just wait and see. But anyway, thank you all very much for listening today. If you made it all the way to the end, well done. Yeah, the episodes are a bit longer than they used to. I hope I'm keeping all of your attention with these stories. Thank you all very much, and I'll see you back here next time.